Parvati, you can start. You're self-muted.
Okay, ma'am. I will do.
Om Parthaya Pratibodhitam Bhagavata Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Grathitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitamrutavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvamanu Sandadhami Bhagavad-gīte bhavadveshinim Namostute Vyasa-vishala-buddhe Pullāra-vindāyata-patra-netra Yenatvaya Bhārata-taila-pūrnah Prajvalito jnānamaya pradīpah Prapanna parijataya Totravetraikapanaye Jnānamudraya Krishnaya Gītāmrutaduhe namaha Vasudevasutam devam Kamsachānūramardhanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagat Gurum Bhishma Drona Tata Jayadratha Jala Gandhara Nilotpala Shalya Grahavati Kripena Vahani Karnena Vela Kula Ashwathama Vikarna Ghora Makara Duryodhana Vartini Sotirna Khalu Pandavairana Nadi Kaivartaka Keshavah Parasharya Vachasaroja Mamalam Gitartha Gandhotkatam Nanakhyanaka Kesaram Harikatha Sambodhana Bodhitam Loke Sajjana Shatpadai Raharah Pepiyamanam Muda Bhuyad Bharata Pankajam Kalimala Pradvamsina Shreyase Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yatkrupa Tamaham Vande Paramananda Madhavam Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudramarutah Sunvanti Divyai Stavaihi Vedai Sangapadakramopanishadaihi Gayanti Yam Samagah Dhyanavasthita Tadgatena Manasa Pashyanti Yam Yoginah Yasyam Tam Navidusura Suraganah Devaya Tasmai Namah Devaya Tasmai Namah Hariom
Hariom. I think you missed one of them, which is Sarvopanishado Gavo. So we can chant it now, no problem. Sarvopanishado Gavo Dokta Gopala Nandanah Partho Vatsa Sudhi Bokta Duktam Gita Amritam Mahat. Dhanyavadah Parvati. சதாசிவசமாரம்பாம் சங்கராச்சார்ய மத்யமாம் அஸ்மதாச்சார்ய பர்யந்தாம் வந்தே குரு பரம்பராம். பரம் வரிஷ்டம் ப்ரஹ்மிஷ்டம் பரமானந்த ரூபிணம் பரமார்த்தநந்தயதிம் சத்குரும் பிரணதோஸ்மியஹம். So we are in the sixth chapter of the Gita, and in the first 9 verses Krishna is speaking about bahiranga sadhanani or general preparatory disciplines, right, which will be useful for any type of meditation, saguna upasana or nirguna dhyanam. And Krishna spoke about the importance of karma yoga, right, which will help in maintaining a balanced or equanimous mind throughout the day, as karma yoga provides a cushion to the mind to prevent violent reactions. So Lord Krishna said, samatvam yogam uchyate, poison equanimity. So we don't say that reactions will be completely eliminated, right? But it just contains the reaction and makes it manageable, and that itself is of great use in practicing meditation later. So Lord Krishna, after speaking about karma yoga, he introduced 4 virtues in 5 and 6, which we saw in the last class. That's what we were seeing. First is accepting that I have a self will or free will, and rejection of fatalism. That is the first one. Second is cultivation of self-confidence, not degrading myself and feeling that I am not capable of growing in spirituality. This negative self-degrading thought must be avoided and should be replaced by thoughts of self-confidence. I can do it with the grace of God. So first one is self-will. Second is cultivation of self-confidence. The third important virtue is putting forth self-effort. Without effort, nothing can be achieved, either in the material world or in the spiritual world, right? Like if you take cricketers, the amount of running, the amount of exercising they have to do, right? And if you take football players, they even practice falling, how they should fall on the ground, etc. And then you will see that they will all limp 2 times and then start running. So they have a method by which they can fall and then they can get up and they can start running, right? If we fall like that, we will end up in the ICU in very few months' time, right? So unless we put in effort for anything, whether it is sports or any other material pursuit, right, nothing can be achieved, right? Will has to be accepted, self-will, and then free will, and confidence must be cultivated, and then effort must be put forth, right? And the fourth one is self-integration must be achieved. Now, yuktatvam or samahitvam. So, every layer of a personality should be fit and they should work in coordination. So, life must be a teamwork, right? We actually discussed the 5 layers of personality. Annamaya, pranamaya, right? The annamaya is the physical layer. Pranamaya is the breathing layer. Manomaya is the mental or emotional layer. Vijnanamaya is intellectual layer, and Anandamaya is the subconscious. They must all fit and function in harmony. Like for instance, you attend a music concert, and if a vocalist is singing in one raga and the violinist is playing in another raga, right? And similarly, the song is in one talam and the mridangam is in another talam. How will it be? It will not be a concert anymore. It will be just a chaos, right? So we enjoy the music because all of them are functioning in coordination. So similarly, life must be a music, whether we want material or spiritual success. For this, our tradition accepts a very beautiful scheme given by Patanjali in Patanjali Yoga, right? For making the body fit and perfect and ready for this, right? So now we have Ashtanga Yoga, which means there are 8 stages in Ashtanga Yoga. I'm going to speak about Ashtanga Yoga and its connection with Vedanta over the next 2 or 3 slides, because it is very important and because you may wonder how the connections are, right? So first 2 stages take care of our moral personality. Without a moral and ethical life, our spiritual journey won't happen, right? So 5 moral values: Ahimsa, right, which is nothing but non-violence; Satyam, truthfulness or integrity; Asteyam, right, not possessing anything, not belonging to me legitimately. I don't possess anything which doesn't belong to me. So I don't want to keep it even for one day. Immediately I should give it away. My conscience should not permit me, right? Then Brahmacharyam, discipline with regard to sexual morality. Finally, Aparigrahyam, right? Not amassing wealth or any possession beyond a limit. Even legitimate possession I must not hold on to. Instead, I share with other people who need them. So avoidance of even legally whatever belongs to you, that possession, beyond a limit, right? Avoidance of a luxurious life. And it's specifically, this advice is for spiritual seeker, not for all, right? So it is a special value. These 5 put together is called Yamaha, right? So Yama of Ashtanga Yoga is comprising of these 5 values. Then the second is Niyama, right? Second step is called Niyama. 5 important values: Shaucham, right? Physical, verbal and mental cleanliness. Even words that I use should not, you know, we should not use swearing or angry words, right? Lakshmi Devi and Saraswati will walk away. That is how our grandparents have actually taught us, our parents and grandparents, right? And never use amangala words. Like there are, in Tamil they'll say shanyane, or you know, they'll, in English they'll shout pig and all that. So we're not supposed to use names of animals and, you know, bad words, swearing words, right? So if one is spiritual, start filtering these regularly, right? Every day, every word you watch. So we will see in the 17th chapter about the 4 filters, right? But what is important is Shaukcham is at the physical level, verbal level and mental level, the cleanliness. Then Santoshaha, Santosha or contentment with limited possession, whether it is dress, vehicle, etc. Make it simple with limited possession and never compare with neighbors, right? And in Sanskrit and Shastra, it does not mean happiness but means contentment, right? Then resisting greed and cultivating contentment is very, very important, right? So regularly you tell yourself, I'm contented with whatever I have, right? First you say verbally, then it will start slowly getting inside us, right? We will internalize. The third is tapas or discipline, austerity or moderation in everything, avoiding extremes or overindulgence in anything, right? Then fourth one is Swadhyaya, right? Swadhyaya or your scriptural studies, attending Gita classes or whatever, Gita or Tattva Bodha or Upanishad classes, all of those come under Swadhyaya. Then Ishwara Pranidhana, devotion to God, right? So accepting all our experiences without questioning the fairness of God, right? Now and then we will wonder and conclude that God is especially unfair to me, right? I do not understand Bhagawan's logic, right? What we forget is Bhagawan is always just, but he takes into account, right, our previous janmas, because he is the administrator of our law of karma, right? So that is very, very important, and Bhagawan gives us measured experiences in line with that, right? So Ishwara Sharanagati. Now put together all of this, that is Yama plus Niyama, become all the 10 values become very, very important from a moral or ethical perspective. So every spiritual seeker must sincerely attempt to follow these. We can't justify saying this is Kali Yuga, so this is not possible, etc. Right? These 10 are absolutely important for a spiritual seeker. Now, so first two aspects of Ashtanga Yoga we saw. Okay? Now, the next one is Asana. Practicing to sit in any particular posture without any disturbance. Chair or floor. We have to learn to sit for 15 minutes without changing posture, moving legs, right? For whether it is for puja or for meditation, right? This is required for practicing meditation. So, asana siddhi, success in any one posture. The next is pranayama. I spoke about pranayama in the last, in chapter 5 when we were discussing breathing, right? Regulation. So, this is regulated breathing, especially slow and harmonious and rhythmic breathing, especially before meditation, it regulates the thoughts. So even if your mind is disturbed, if you do pranayama for some time before you start the meditation, it helps you definitely observe your thoughts much better. Then the next one is, in fact, before I go to pratyahara, pranayama is talked about so importantly, even in Upadeshasara, which is a composition by Ramana Maharishi, right? There is a verse there where it talks about prana and manaha being interlinked and how once you regulate one of them, the other one gets regulated, right? So, this particular verse goes like this, chitta vaya vaschit kriya yutaha shakyor dvai shakti moolaka, right? The 12th verse of Upadeshasara, right? Mind and breath, just that is thought and action, fork out like two branches, but both spring from a single root. So therefore, if you control one, then the other one starts getting controlled automatically, right? That's why when somebody is born in a Vedic tradition, the minute one says Om Bhuhu, they know they have to start pranayama. So this is the fourth step, right? These four, very important, the first four together is known as Hatha Yoga for disciplining external personality, which is gross, right? So the fifth one is Pratyahara, means withdrawal of the sense organs at will. Prati is inwards and Ahra is withdraw. So if eyes are watching something and it is very attractive, right? And if I should be able to control it, right? Saying no, this is not the time. Then like ears, if it is listening to gossip, I should decide it's not good for spiritual growth and I say, no, you can't hear, right? And it must act immediately. This capacity I should have throughout the day. The moment I sit in meditation, I must be able to get the sense organs to obey. This capacity is called Pratyahara. In Tattva Bodha, you may recall, those of you who remember the introduction to Vedanta classes, this is referred as Damaha, right? Shamadi Shatka Sampattihi, Shamaha Damaha. Damaha was the second one, right? So, tough, but this is our sadhana, right? The sixth one is Dharana. Pratyahara is at sensory level, right? Pranayama is at pranic level. What a beautiful scheme, right? To take care of each layer, right? Asana is for Annamaya layer. So, we have taken care of sensory layer, taken care of pranamaya by pranayama, annamaya asanas, right? Now, dharana is thought discipline. So, manomaya kosha. I learn to withdraw my thoughts from the worldly field, withdraw from office, right? So, once I come home, I should stop thinking about office, etc., right? So, if I choose to focus on Shiva Manasa Puja, I must continue to focus on that for that period of time, right? So, dharana is withdrawal and focus. Focus on a particular field preceded by withdrawal, right? Dharana means holding thought in a particular field, right? Now, the next one is dhyanam, right? Dhyana. So, it is trying to retain the thought in the same field for a length of time. First is bringing it to focus, then dhyanam is retaining the thought, holding it for a length of time, right? Like turning my eyes towards, say, that pillar and then continuing to hold my eyes towards that pillar, right? So, dhyanam invariably involves a tug of war. Because I try to retain and it will run. Then I have to bring it back. Then there's a tug of war. So, this process is dhyanam, right? Very important. Then when the tug of war is over and I am absorbed in the field without distraction, undistracted absorption is called samadhi. Right? Now the field of samadhi can vary from meditation to meditation. Whether it is manasa puja or Vedantic teaching. Right? Mind does not stray away from that. Right? Even in class for 1 hour, if you are able to listen to the talk, right? That itself is a fantastic achievement. Initially, few minutes in between it will go and come, right? If I manage this 1 hour without distraction, that is itself meditation, right? In fact, Swamiji calls it, or Vedanta refers to this as Shravanabhyasa Rupa Nididhyasanam. So that is also fine if you are able to focus on the teaching during the 1 hour, right? So, for the teacher also, it becomes nididhyasana or dhyanam. For the student also, it becomes dhyanam, right? So, the second half is called Raja Yoga. So, Hatha Yoga plus Raja Yoga is equal to Ashtanga Yoga, right? And initially, I try to master Hatha Yoga, then I master Raja Yoga, right? So, this is very important what I am going to say now, because in Aparokshanubhuti, Shankaracharya says, if Raja Yoga is not possible, you practice Hatha Yoga, right? He says, Ebirangaihi samayukto Raja Yoga udahritaha kinchit pakva kashayanam Hatha Yogena sanyutaha. Verse number 143 of Aparokshanubhuti, right? Very advanced text of Shankaracharya. In that he talks about if a person, He goes to the extent of saying if a person is not ready for, forget about dhyana and other things, if for Raja Yoga, then you make sure that you do Hatha Yoga so that you get ready for that, right? So, now this is very important for us to understand the difference between Hatha Yoga and Raja Yoga. So, if you see in Hatha Yoga, it is addressing more of the lower koshas, right? So, your Manomaya and Dhyana comes only in Raja Yoga. So, in Ashtanga Yoga, the last three steps of Dharana, Dhyanam and Samadhi is called Atma Sanyamaha. That is the name of the title of this chapter. Okay? So, since the sixth chapter talks of these three stages, which are the three stages? The last three. Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. Right? That is why it is called Atma Sanyama Yoga or Dhyana Yoga. Clear? So, it is important to understand the connection between Ashtanga Yoga and this chapter, right? And why is it important, right? So, here Lord Krishna says, by the practice of Ashtanga Yoga, suppose you develop self-integration, then that self-integrated personality becomes your friend for accomplishing any goal of life. Whether it is material or spiritual. If your personality is completely in disarray, your physical body listens to your intellectual command, but your mind is not there. Right? So, if you want to hear and you turn your ears, because your intellect is telling turn and hear, and you're turning your ears to hear, but the mind is not cooperating, mind is not behind the ear, so you will not end up hearing anything. Right? A disharmonious personality will be a failure in every sphere of life. So, now in this particular verse that we were doing, right, where is the connection? Because it is Ashtanga Yoga which makes the personality integrated, right? And that is what we were seeing in Banduratmana Tasya. Last week we saw this, right? Enatmaivatmana Jitaha. So, in this verse, we are talking about the different layers of personality. When it becomes integrated, his own personality becomes his friend, right? On the other hand, when different layers are not integrated, right, unharmonized layers of the personality will become your own enemy, right? So, whenever there is nobody around, I have to face myself. Many people actually cannot face themselves. they have to do something all the time, right? I have to learn to enjoy solitude, right? Solitude is a time opportunity to enjoy myself. If that is not there, your mind becomes the mind will become your enemy and the future anxiety, fear, etc. will come. So to escape that, people want to go to some movie or go to temples, keep going outside, walking or talking, right? They want to run away. Physically, you can try to run, but you cannot run away from your mind, right? So mind becoming inimical is the worst thing that can happen. That's the definition of samsara, right? So when mind becomes enjoyable, that is moksha, right? So in Bhajagovindam, sannyasi is talked about suraman dirataru moola nivasaha shayya bhutala madinam vasaha sarva parigraha bhogatyagaha kasya sukham na karoti viragaha. A sannyasi resides in a temple or below a tree or sleeps on the earth as his bed, right? He sleeps like that. He stays alone, leaves all the belongings and comforts, right? Such renunciation can also give pleasures to a person like a sannyasi, right? Very important. He doesn't have any friends, anybody. Why? Because his personality is integrated. He's always happy with himself, right? So, we talked about four steps. First is self-will, acceptance of self-will. Second is cultivating self-confidence. Third is self-effort. And fourth is self-integration of the personality, for which I had to speak about the Ashtanga Yoga. Because that is, when you talk of self-integration, how to develop an integrated personality, you must remember that the steps are Ashtanga Yoga, right? So put together, known as Yoga, collective team effort to make the body, sense, organs, mind in working together, right? Life must be an integrated effort of Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya, Kosha, right? And these layers will become your friend in the spiritual journey, right? And therefore, we have to pay attention to that, right? Now, Krishna has assumed that the person has gone through all these stages, right? Practiced Ashtanga Yoga, and he is a well-integrated, organized, coordinated personality. Then what will happen? Right, the benefits of self-integration follows in the following verses. Continuing, jitātmana prashāntasya paramātmā samāhitah śītoṣṇa sukha dukkheṣu tathā mānāpamānayoḥ. Okay, now if I am following karma yoga on one side and if I am following these four virtues, I will be growing spiritually. This is definite, right? So how do I test myself? What is the indication that I am growing spiritually, right? We should carefully note that we should never use this test to assess other people. Especially, Swamiji says, if two family members are attending the classes together, right? One family member should not use this test on the other family member, right? Very, very important. And you should never say, oh, you are attending Gita classes, it's a waste, right? We should never say that. Even within the family, if we are attending with the same guru, same set of classes, right? But it is for, there are tests to assess, right? One is decreased FIR and other is increased CCC, right? So let's do a quick recap. So what is FIR, right? Frequency of emotional disturbances. I is the intensity of emotional disturbance. And R is the recovery period, right? Now, it can be any emotion. It can be anger, it can be greed, it can be envy, or it can be extreme happiness, right? And jumping in glee, any of these, right? So, when intensity comes down, you can see in the way we interact, at the physical, mental and verbal level. If intensity is high, I transfer the disturbance onto the others, right? If I lower, I don't transfer. So this is one way of finding out. So even though there is mental disturbance, only I know there is disturbance in mind, right? After every emotional disturbance, how much time do I take to bounce back, right? Like for instance, all aerobic exercises, the heartbeat will increase, right? Then you monitor the recovery to come back to normalcy. That is a indicator of health. Similarly, when I grow spiritually, when there is decreased FIR, we can check how much is the recovery period, right? So, Swami Shivananda, as I said, of Shivananda Ashram, strongly recommends to write a spiritual diary to find out our levels, right? And triple C, what is triple C? Calmness, cheerfulness and confidence, right? So, our mind is calm as we grow spiritually and reasonably it becomes calm, right? You can see it in the body language, eyes also, right? Instead of constantly roaming around, hands and neck will never be quiet. You will see that the person starts calming down. Calming at breathing level, body level, mind level and even at speech level. At every level, calmness is there, right? So, Kalidasa writes in Shakuntalam, right? Dushyanta goes to the forest for hunting and he is tired and thirsty and wants to get some water. He sees animals which are born rivals playing together and they don't show any hostility. So Dushyanta says somewhere nearby there must be an ashrama and there must be sages and they have a mind that has no hostility towards anyone. They have compassion and the whole place around, right, is having that calmness because of that, right? So when our mind is calm, right, surrounding also generally agitated people will be calm. So you can observe this when you're interacting with Swamiji or somebody who's at that level, right? So cheerfulness, when the mind is too stressed, right, those two don't go together. We can't be cheerful, right? So cheerfulness is also, it has to come with the same as your FIR starts decreasing, right? Your cheerfulness will also start increasing and then you have your confidence, right? Because you are progressing on the spiritual journey, I'm becoming more and more confident of confronting my life as well as the future and the distant future. Whether children will be with me or not when I'm 65 years old, right? Those kind of worries will slowly go away, right? The self-confidence comes. So, these are the indicators of spiritual growth, right? So, Veda refers to these as what? Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampannaha, right? So, here Jitatmanaha is a person who has mastered the different layers of personality and integrated them, who is referred to as a yogi, right? And is indicated by Prashantaha, deeply calm, free from stress, right? Major problem is stress, even in homes, you can see that, right? So, if we can address stress, that itself is a big thing for the Grihastha Ashrama people, right? So, for such a person, if he is ready to study Vedanta and absorb the message, right? Remember that integration itself will not give knowledge. Meditation cannot, yoga cannot give. Both yoga and meditation only prepare the mind. Chapter 4 of Gita, if you remember, clearly says, if you want spiritual knowledge, satviddhi pranipatena. So, consistent and systematic study of Vedantic scriptures for a length of time under a competent acharya alone will give you knowledge. And Lord Krishna assumes that this yogi has gone through Shravanam and Mananam because Lord Krishna has given the teaching in chapters 2, 3, 4 and 5. What is the teaching? Essentially, he expects the yogi to know or having imbibed the five capsules of Vedanta. What are the five capsules of Vedanta? I am of the nature of eternal and all-pervading consciousness. I am the only source of permanent peace, security and happiness. By my mere presence, I give life to the material body and through the body I experience the material universe. I am not affected by anything that takes place in the material world and in the material body. By forgetting my real nature, I convert life into a struggle, and by remembering my real nature, I convert life into a sport or entertainment. What is the real nature? I am Atma, right? So, I am the consciousness principle, which is also called Paramatma. Body, mind, etc. are all costumes. Then, now you must also remember the five features of consciousness, right? Which is, consciousness is not a part, product or property of the body. Consciousness is the five features, right? So, consciousness is an invisible and independent entity which pervades the body and makes it alive. This invisible independent consciousness is not limited by the boundaries of the body, right? And this continues to survive even after the body medium dies, perishes or is destroyed. The only reason why consciousness is not available for transaction is because it is not that it's not present, but because the medium of transaction is absent. This I have to receive from the Acharya repeatedly, from the Guru, and process of receiving this message is called Shravanam, and mulling over it is Mananam, so that it is doubt-free. And thereafter I must regularly practice the teaching. The assimilation of the teaching is called Nididhyasanam. I am not the body, I am not the mind. I am the eternal and all-pervading Paramatma. Na jayate mriyate va kadachit nayam bhutva bhavita vanabhuyaha ajo nitya shashvatoyam puranaha na hanyate hanyamane sharire. We saw this in the 20th verse of the second chapter, right? I am the immortal self, right? And even when I grow old, the biggest advantage is fear of death is not there, right? Now, this fear of death, which enters right at the time when the child is born, right? He tries to cling on to somebody or the other because of that insecurity, right? So, spiritual knowledge helps us in growing out of this insecurity, right? And we can get over this. And in fact, people are so scared of death that they don't even face the south side, right? Because they believe that Yama represents south side, and that's why Lord Dakshinamurti faces the south direction, indicating if you gain spiritual knowledge, you are no longer scared of death of the mortal body. Self-knowledge becomes more and more evident to this yogi. And once it's ingrained in the mind, samatvam, equanimity of the mind will become stronger and the equanimity becomes deeper, right? Samaha Bhavati, the Vedantic meditator, assimilates this message and becomes calmer and calmer. Obviously, he knows that because of Prarabdha Karma, it is going to bring favorable and unfavorable news. But the difference is, with every mobile call, he is not going to shiver, wondering from where what news is coming as we start growing older, right? Now, we should remember that one day, Rama was given a favorable news saying what? That he was going to become an emperor, right? And thereafter, Rama was given news on his, very soon, on his not only not becoming emperor, but having been banished from the kingdom and to have been asked to leave for the forest, right? So, in chapter 2 of this one, the Ayodhya Kandam, Sarga 19, right? There is a very nice verse. Navanam gantu kamasya tyajatacha vasundaram sarvaloka atigasya iva lakshyate chitta vikriya. 2:19:33. Okay, in case you want to refer. In that Rama, who was leaving the kingdom after having decided to go to the forest, there was no sign of being perturbed, right? There's nothing in his mind. Like an ascetic who is beyond worldly pain and pleasure, he left Rama, right? So, when disturbing news comes, we may ask what? But as Swamiji says, after some time, we must ask, so what? Right? Shita Ushna, representing comfort and discomfort in our surroundings. Learn to go through both without complaint. Shita Ushna, Sukha Dukha, favorable and unfavorable situations. Manam and apamanam, honor and criticism or disrespect, right? In Bhajagovindam, Shankaracharya says, you will be honored in your family, very, very disturbing, as long as you are productive and healthy. The moment you become non-productive, attitude will change, right? Yavad vitto parjana sakta tavan nijaparivaro raktaha paschat jivati jarjara dehe vartam kopina prichati gehe. As long as you have the ability to earn money, so long will your dependents be attached to you. After that, when you live with an infirm body, no one in this world will even speak to you a word. And what is surprising is Shankaracharya, who was a sannyasi, has written these verses on in Bhajagovindam, right? So let the mind be well cushioned so that we can face any of these favorable or unfavorable situations. So tatha manapa manayoho, all these are benefits of nididhyasanam, right? So samahitaha, right? Even in whether it is honor or criticism, you have to prepare your mind, right? And for, first of all, for facing the world and for nididhyasanam. Therefore, Arjuna, do bahiranga sadhanani. So, this verse is all about how a jnani is facing unfavorable and favorable situations, right? So, moving on to 8th verse. Jnana vijnana triptatma. Jnana vijnana triptatma kutastho vijitendriyah kutastho vijatendriyah yukta ityuchyate yogi yukta ityuchyate yogi samaloshtashma kanchanah samaloshtashma kanchanah. So it's vijitendriyah. Right, Vijitendriya, the spiritual seeker, goes through initial stages of Ashtanga Yoga and Karma Yoga and manages the sense organs, right? So he is the master, right? Vijitendriya, synonymous Dhamaha or Indriya Nigraha, right? So after going through these stages, he should expose to spiritual education program, which is in the form of jnanam and vijnanam. Very important verse from that aspect, because Shankaracharya writes elaborately in his Bhashyam on the difference between jnanam and vijnanam, right? What he receives from the acharya is jnanam, the eternal all-pervading consciousness principle, what you learn about, that is jnanam. Vijnanam is by nididhyasanam, right? So, when you practice Vedantic meditation, in the absence of the guru, I relive the teaching that is in the mind. I learn to practice, I am not the body mind, and I should naturally claim that I am the immortal, right? I am the immortal self, right? This habitualization, that knowledge is called vijnanam. So, basically in Vedantic terms, one is paroksha jnanam and vijnanam is aparoksha jnanam. Paroksha jnanam is jnanam, aparoksha jnanam is vijnanam. So I am the body, I have an atma is jnanam. I am the atma and I have an incidental body is vijnanam. Let me repeat. I am the body, I have an atma is jnanam. I am the Atma and I have an incidental body is Vijnanam. So start with Jnanam, progress to Vijnanam. The state of mind is Moksha, Tripta Atma, totally fulfilled. Right? I feel the life's mission is accomplished and anything else you accomplish in life, you feel incomplete as there is always more to achieve. That is Samsara. So when you study, you want to complete your studies, then job, then find someone to get married, then have children, then get them admission, then try to get them married. It just goes on and on and on. So each time I feel a mission is over, there is something else that is coming up, right? So that sense of incompleteness, right, will be wiped out with Atma Jnanam, or which is Vijnanam, right? So Purna Madaha, right? That is Vedanta. So Aham Purnaha Asmi, right? As a fulfilled person, that is why we chant Purna Mada at least at the end of the Gita class. So that for some few seconds we can claim Purnatvam, right? So as a fulfilled person, I do a lot of things in life, right? It will never take away the fulfillment that I have. We can continue in the world pursuing whatever interest we have as long as it is moral, ethical, dharmic, right? So whatever happens in life, it will not take away my Purnatvam, right? So in Shvetashvatara Upanishad, in fact, there is a mantra, right, on this, on Atma. Eko Devaha Sarvabhuteshu Gudaha Sarvavyapi Sarvabhutantar Atma. Right? The non-dual and resplendent Lord is hidden in all beings as what? The all-pervading and the innermost self of all the creatures, the impeller of actions, abiding in all things. He is the witness, right? So the Supreme Purusha is in this body as the witness, the approver, the supporter, the experiencer, the Sakshi Chaitanyam, right? So, like exactly like electricity, that is Vijnanam, right? So, claiming that invisible Atma, I the Atma, I am not only behind this body, but I am the Atma behind all the bodies. The flowers are many, the thread that keeps the flower is one, right? The flowers may fall off, the thread does not, right? That thread I am, right? That invisible thread I am. All living beings are like different flowers and the thread is Atma, which is none other than I. This knowledge will give me total tripti. So, Jnana Vijnana Triptatma, right? At body level, sense organ level, always complaints will exist, but Atma is always free from complaints. So, I don't have any complaints. And even if I have to die today or tonight, I can die without any complaints. Therefore, Lord Krishna describes that state of mind of a person who has assimilated this teaching, right? He is called what? Yukta Ityuchyate Yogi. Yukta is another word for yogi, the most successful meditator. As a result of this, Samaloshtashma Kanchanaha, as a result of this meditation, he is able to see every material, every inert material as one, right? Unity in diversity. Samaloshtashma Kanchanaha, right? Like I see one gold in several ornaments, I see one wood in all furnitures. In diversity of all anatma, I see the same consciousness in all, right? Only Nama Rupa is different. Living and non-living beings. In living beings, the unity is in the form of consciousness. Very important concept. In non-living things, it is in the form of existence. Because Atma is Sat Chit. Sat is existence and Chit is consciousness. So in living beings, in the form of consciousness. In non-living beings, in the form of existence, right? And at Jnana level, right, he never loses, Jnani doesn't lose sight of Atma. Samaloshtashma Kanchanaha. From worldly angle, these three can be wildly different. But from the knowledge perspective, all of them are the same, right? Loshta is a log, right? Whether it is a log or whether it is a rock or whether it is gold, right? All of them have the same existence in them, right? So all these things are different superficially. They are only one Atma with different Nama Rupa. A Jnani does not lose sight of the Atma. So one whose mind is satisfied through Jnana and Vijnana, right? I gave you the difference between Jnana and Vijnana. Who is steady and who has mastered the sense organs is called a yogi. A yogi is one for whom a lump of earth, stone and gold are the same. So the previous verse talks about favorable and unfavorable situations. This verse talks about different kinds of inert material, right? Continuing. Suhrin Mitraryudasinam, Suhrin Mitratyudasinam, Madhyastha Dveshya Bandhushu, Sadushvapicha Papeshu, Samabuddhir Vishishyate. A very important point. The first line should not be broken up at all. It's one word, okay, the full thing. So, Suhrin Mitraryudasina Madhyastha Dveshya, Dveshya Bandhushu. The whole thing has to be read together. So, now this is talking about different kinds of people. Okay, verse 9 is talking about different kinds of people. So, Krishna talked about diverse things, inert material. Now, Krishna is speaking about different human beings. And they are seen differently and categorized differently at transaction level when you look into it. But at the truth level, the essence is Atma or Brahman, right? It's the same. So, at the time of Pralayam, all of them will get reduced into what? One fundamental essence called Atma. Before it was Atma, later also it will be Atma. In between, it will appear as manifold things and people. Gold, right? Lump becomes ornament. Then again it becomes gold lump. So, gold alone is the truth. Ornaments are non-substantial, nama and form, right? So, entire creation is nama rupa only. So, Vedantic meditator remembers this all the time. We are briefly here knocking about, thinking this is the truth, but finally it all ends up in the absolute truth. So, Suhrid, the first kind of person. Suhrid is a person who has the heart of gold, who helps other people, who is a well-wisher of all, right? Whether others are known or not, that is a very difficult trait. Here is a person who can help anybody. I may or may not meet the person again. Still I feel like helping. The natural helping tendency is extremely rare. So Suhrudaya is a noble hearted person. He may even be poor, right? Having very limited wealth. But he is able to share that limited wealth with others, right? So there are others who can part with money. Even if there are some who can part with money, even with whatever less they have, some with so much of wealth, they are not able to part with it, right? Because they hold, right? So, Suhrid is the best kind of character, such a person, right? The next is Mitram. Mitram means a friend. He also has a helping tendency, but he does not help everybody. But he helps only his friends. So, conditional helper. Whereas Suhrid is unconditional helper, right? Then you have the third variety, Ari. Inimical people who look upon others as enemies, right? Looks upon me as a competitor or rival, right? Then Udasinaha, a neutral person who is not either of these but a third person on the street, right? So, Lord Krishna is enumerating various types of human beings possible, right, at body and mind level. Then you have Madhyastaha, right. So, what is a Madhyastaha? For instance, there is a fight in the neighborhood. Some two people are fighting or a husband and wife is fighting. Many people will just go their way, right. They will not bother. They will say, okay, somebody's house, some fight. Now, if there is a person who can effectively mediate and solve the problem between two groups, right? And help, say, problems to get sorted out, issues to be sorted out. Such a person is called Madhyastaha, right? So, that is the other one. Now, Udasinaha is indifferent. Madhyastaha is a mediator, right? Then you have Dveshyaha, a person who is harmful to me. My natural tendency is to dislike this person, right? It is instinct based. When a person continuously gives you trouble, right? My nature will be to avoid these people, those who hurt me, right? There are a few sadistic people like that. And some people, as Swamiji says, have a very good name outside, but at home they are very different kinds of people. They continuously give trouble to their spouse, right? So this is the result of prarabdha. Such a person is also dislikable. So dveshyaha is a person who is harmful, right? Then comes bandhu, a relative, right? A family relative, right? Is bandhu. And then you have sadhu, a saintly person, right? Sadhu is a saintly person. And that's why they say, if there is a jnani who is a sadhu, right? We are not supposed to do any harm to that person. Because if we do that, not only whatever harm we do, his papam will also come to us. He doesn't have any papam. So if at all there is something which is there, even that will stick to us. Because, you know, he is a saintly jnani, he is the other kind, a saintly kind of person, right? And then the last one is papaha, a person given to unethical, immoral, sinful activities, right? That is the last variety, papaha, a person given to unethical, immoral and sinful activities. There's so many diverse groups of people are there, right? A jnani also experiences all these type of people. But what does he know? He knows that all of them, the essential nature is Satchidananda Atma, right? For some, their nature is covered by ignorance, right? Others know they are Satchidananda Atma. So there is really no sinner. Everybody is good. The same Atma is behind everybody, right? So Shankaracharya gives this example of a sandalwood. Imagine a sandalwood, okay? Now, if sandalwood is in touch with water without cleaning for a long time, moss will form and it will become thick and it will start producing foul smell, right? Now, if a person does not know it is sandalwood, a person may decide to throw it away, right? Then someone comes and tells, no, 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 it is only a superficial layer of fungus. You rub it, then it goes away. So it is essentially sandalwood only. Now when you hold, you will not believe this. When you hold that sandalwood which is covered with moss, right, you would only want to throw it away. But only after you rub out, the natural smell will come, right? So according to Veda, every living being is an embodiment of compassion. Helping tendency is natural to us. We are all the fragrant sandalwood. We are now in contact with Ajnanam water. Ajnanam has been there from Anadikala, right? So fungus has been formed. Raga, Dvesha, Kama, Krodha. Therefore we are foul smelling. But they are superficially there. You do Bhagavad Gita rubbing, all these will go away. So a jnani will never therefore ever hate anyone, right? Because he understands no one is innately bad, right? I can keep a safe physical distance, but never hate anyone. So towards all these people, samabuddhihi, everyone is essentially divine, vishishyate. So such a jnani excels among the human beings. These are all the results of Vedantic meditation, right? For this, one has to go through Bahiranga Sadhanani, right? So the meaning of this is, he whose mind is the same with regard to well-wishers, Sukrit, friends, mitram, enemies, ari, neutrals, mediators, hateful ones, relations, bandhu, the righteous, the saintly ones, and even the unrighteous excels, right? So, in order to, you know, get to this stage, one has to go through Bahiranga Sadhanani and then of course do Shravanam, Mananam and Vedantic meditation. So temporarily this topic is over. Again Krishna will talk about Bahiranga Sadhanani in 15th and 16th verse, right? Now Antaranga Sadhanas has to be taken care of. What are Antaranga Sadhanas? Just before meditation, what are the sadhanas to be undertaken, right? Bahiranga is supposed to be taken care of during, throughout one's life, during your day-to-day interactions, everything. As I said, if you don't take care of Bahiranga Sadhanani, the mind will not be calm, you can't attempt meditation at all. So Bahiranga Sadhanani are meant for once, throughout one's life, and now we are going to enter Antaranga Sadhana, Sadhanani, which is just before meditation. What is the preparatory activity, right? What all steps should we undertake, right? So we will start with Antaranga Sadhanani in the next class.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Any questions? Okay, I don't see any hands up symbol here. Let me check the questions.
Was there a problem with audio? Can somebody speak up, please? Ramayana Narayan, okay.
Yeah.
Go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, there's no problem. I'm able to hear you very clearly.
Okay. Because somebody had left the, they had left a question in the question section that, you know, they couldn't hear audio. Okay. So are there any questions from anybody? I think there are no hands up symbol here, okay, and there are no questions in the question side also, okay. Thank you so much, Danyavada. You can also drop me mails if you have any query, not a problem, I can answer in the next class also. Hari Om, Danyavada.